You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. There's a good chance a lot of you are kind of like me when it comes to pie. You like it, you eat it when you get a chance, but when it comes to making your own pie, well, it sounds a little intimidating. On today's edition of Food Friday, we'll get some advice and inspiration. Award-winning baker and author Kate Lebo joins us today to share lessons in pie from her San Francisco-based pie school. Students learn how to create things like blueberry lemon verbena galette, cheddar-crusted apple pie, and the one she'll help us bake today, whiskey maple pecan pie. So put on your apron, bake along with Central Time. The recipe's on our Facebook page. Kate Lebo joins us now. Her new book is Pie School: Lessons in Fruit, Flour, and Butter. Kate, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So you're a poet, you're a writer, and so, of course, you decided to start a pie school.
Well,
how did that happen?
Why not? Well, you know, by now I've got 2 degrees in creative writing, the undergrad and the extra grad. And both times I was about to graduate, I kept getting that classic question of an English major. So what are you going to do with that degree? Right? So this time I just started getting flip with it and saying, oh, I'm going to start a pie school. And then that started to seem like a good idea. I mean, why not start a pie school? Why not start a business? And so with the help of Danny Cohen in Seattle, who's a wonderful business owner out there, she kind of coached me through it. And I opened doors the month that I graduated in 2012.
So what is it about pie that captured your imagination?
You know, I think that it's it starts with the cliche, easy as pie, that that is to a lot of us actually a joke now. And so it was a mystery to me first why originally it was supposed to be easy and then why it was so hard. What I discovered through making it is that it's best made by hand. And so it is kind of mysterious in that the mystery ingredient is how you touch it, which is something everyone kind of can bring to the bowl in a different way.
We'll get back to the poetry, but let's get into that technique a little bit because this was new to me. Right. I've tried to make my own pie crust. Not so good. I usually buy one or make crisp or something like that. So 2 keys that I found out about just looking at your book earlier today, don't soften the butter and work it. Don't knead it, but work it by hand. Tell us about both of those.
Okay, so we need cold fat. You can use cold leaf lard. You can use cold Crisco. You can use cold butter in any combination. My recipe calls for about 1/2 cup of cold fat. Needs to be cold because it needs to keep its shape. Just it needs to be slightly separate from that flour. So when you roll it out real thin, you get these layers of butter, these layers of flour, these layers of butter, and they poof in the oven and make flakes.
And by hand now. Why does it have to be by hand?
By hand, I mean, you can get great crust by using a pastry cutter. That's kind of a way that people are more familiar with. But by hand, what happens is you can actually use your sense of touch and you look into the bowl in a different way when you've got your hands in it. It's like playing with the mud, but edible, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're using your senses to figure out what's going on with the dough rather than anxiously peering into your cookbook to see if you're following the directions. That's why by hand.
Now, when I've talked to people who do bread and they knead the bread and they talk about the physical sensation and the tactile nature of it, and that's part of what makes them love making bread so much, and I'm too chicken to do that, too. Is that part of the joy of pie making for
absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. I like to get my hands dirty. Mm-hmm. That's where the love gets in, too, right? And also where everyone kind of has their own signature way of making it. I find in my classes, I can give you all sorts of tips and recipes, but the thing that makes you need to be in the room with me is the gesture, mm-hmm. how I move my hands. That takes 4 sentences to describe something I can just do with a flip of the wrist, right?
Mm-hmm.
So pie is a folk art. I think that's one of the reasons that we see or we hear the story of it being passed down by our grandmothers, by our fathers, right?
Right. A lot of us feel that family connection. How important is that as a part of why pie is different than a lot of other foods out there?
Well, I think because of that handmade and nature of it and that gesture that you need to be in the kitchen standing next to your grandmother, your grandfather, whoever made it, to see how they touched it, really. You don't do that with a cake, right? I mean, you could. You could mix up that batter with your hands.
That sounds messy, actually. So a lot of times people will approach a recipe, and sometimes I'll do this, a recipe like it's a scientific formula. Mm-hmm. Do not deviate, measure to the, you know, atomic level. Is that how your recipes work?
No. Yes and no. Okay, so I'm trying to kind of bridge this gap between baking as a science and cooking as an art. That's kind of a popular chestnut right now, which implies that baking needs to be really precise, but those cooks, they get to improvise as they want, as they will. But I found kind of through my training as a poet, I started to look at pie as a form, right? So you know, like the way you would look at a sonnet. A sonnet has these ridiculous rules that you have to adhere to get to something really cool. And then often at the end, you throw something out, right? That's your improvisation. You can break the rules. Same with pie. So if you start to understand that pie, double crust fruit pie, is crust and it's fruit and filling, and both of those two elements have five basic ingredients to them, you can start to improvise at will.
Now, we've got a couple of your crust recipes on the Central Time Facebook page, and we've got whiskey maple pecan pie. Can you tell us about that one?
Oh, well, you know, in my family, we still make our pecan pie with Karo syrup at Thanksgiving, because that's how my grandmother likes it. Mm-hmm. But when we make the extra pecan pie in between Thanksgiving and Christmas, when she's not invited over, I'd like to get out natural sugars, because they add so much flavor, right? There's no reason that you have to stick to corn syrup. So we've got brown sugar, we've got maple syrup in there. You also use honey. And then, of course, a shot of whiskey. Why not? Warms everything up. Plus, then you've got a whole bottle you have to take care of somehow.
Right. Yeah. And rye whiskey, I think, is what you suggest for this one.
I love the taste of rye whiskey. It's a little less sweet.
Now, talk about the use of different sweeteners. You said the corn syrup, I think, is your last resort, or when you're sticking to the family custom. Mm-hmm. When would you go to honey or maple instead of the plain white sugar?
So that's a great question. I think about sweetener in terms of how it's going to frame the fruit. So what's most important to me about a fruit pie is the fruit. You cannot rescue bad fruit. Get good fruit. Often we're dumping sugar onto things to try to rescue bad fruit, and just don't even bother. You know, make that pecan pie, right? So I'll choose honey when I want to add a floral flavor, maybe to apples or to peaches or something. Brown sugar when I want it to be a little more caramely. White sugar is just a really good, classic, clean frame for that. That's kind of how I go.
Now, working with fruit, there are some fruits that I like to pre-cook a little before I bake with them. Well, rhubarb in the spring is a big one. I always try to like simmer that with a little sugar.
Oh, really?
Is that dumb? Can I just cook with it raw? Fruits that you want to pre-cook like that?
You can do what you want with
that.
Thank you. If you want to simmer it, that's fine. I don't take that step. I find that it's not necessary. Okay. With really fresh rhubarb, that's ready to go. Though with frozen rhubarb, it can get really kind of soggy, like a wet washcloth. Mm. And you want to let that thaw and get the extra water out. The only thing that I cook before I put it into the fruit that I cook before I put it into the crust is quince, right? Which is a relative of apple. It's really tough, but when you cook it, it becomes this beautiful floral, pear-y, delicious thing. But if you put it in there raw, oh man, you're not in for a treat.
I'm laughing because A, I've tried to eat quince raw.
Oh,
doesn't
me too.
Work. And B, just a month ago I had some quince and was like, okay, I'm gonna simmer it this time with some brown sugar. And I walked away from it and all the water boiled away. And I ended up throwing with a pan and it all like crystallized onto the pan. Yeah. So no quince for me this year either. Well, you've written in your previous book, I think it was, that we can tell something about our own personalities by our pie preference.
Right.
What does our pie tell us about ourselves?
Well, I mean, for my first book is a commonplace book of pie. I call it a collection of facts, both real and imagined, about pie. And it just kind of takes for fun this idea that what you eat says something about who you are, right? Used kind of associations of different pies. So when I was thinking about blueberries, I was thinking about how they're ripe in July and how Violet Beauregard from Willy Wonka turned into one and became much less of a brat after she, you know, had to be rolled off stage. And ended up thinking about, so what kind of person would love this pie with all these things that kind of attend a blueberry?
So what's like, what is your totem pie, I guess we'd say?
Oh, gosh. You know,
You're agnostic, I bet. You like them all. Which one?
A banana cream pie is the one I feel closest to in that book. Mm-hmm. Not as a cook. I actually don't like making cream pie at all. That's for somebody else to do. I like to eat it.
Okay.
Rather than make it myself.
I don't know. Fruit pies, I like blueberry. Actually, raspberry pie. Forget it. Raspberry pie is my favorite to eat.
That's a good one.
All right. Well, we are talking about pie making now, about the secrets of baking the perfect pie. And we want you to join our conversation. Do you have a secret for making a great crust? Or do you need some inspiration and advice to get you to try doing it yourself? What is your favorite kind of pie? Does that say something about you? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post over at the Central Time Facebook page. While you're there, check out Kate Lebo's recipe for two types of pie crust and for whiskey maple pecan pie. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking pie now in this week's edition of Food Friday, and we'd like to hear from you. Is baking a creative journey for you, like it is for our guest, Kate Lebo? What do you need to get into the ideal pie baking mood? And do you need some help, some advice, or do you have a pie secret to share? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or tweet us at Central Time WPR. Kate Lebo stays with us to share lessons in fruit, flour, and butter from her pie school and her book by the same name. We'll go right to our callers. We've got Allison on the line in Milwaukee. Allison, hi.
Hi, I have a question in regards to sugar levels in pies. I know that a lot of times baking is an exact science. And whenever I bake, I like to decrease the sugar. I don't like to add fake sugars. And for fruit pies where you do cook the filling, it's easy because you can kind of taste it to see if it's as sweet as you need it to be. But when it comes to maybe a cream pie or like a pecan pie, can you cut the sugar without losing the texture it's supposed to be? I'll take my answer off the air.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I tend to decrease the amount of sugar in recipes that I find elsewhere by about a quarter of a cup because I like tartar pie and I like less sugary pie. That said, children tend to not like my pie then. But yeah, you can get away with that and not mess with the texture of those pies.
Thanks a lot for the call, Allison. That reminds me, another ingredient I wouldn't necessarily have thought of. You say salt is often key. Not a lot, but a little.
Just
why
a
salt?
Little. Salt makes everything taste better. I find when I'm in the process of making filling, I have a step where I always taste it, just like the previous caller said, to see if it's got enough sweetener, to see if it tastes good. And often it's not that it tastes bad, it's just kind of bland. Hmm. And the thing to resolve that isn't more sugar, isn't necessarily more spice. It's a little more salt, maybe a little more lemon. That kicks up the flavor.
And you're talking a pinch or two.
I'm talking just a pinch.
All right, back to our callers. Julie is on the line in Mesa Mani. Julie, hi.
Hi, Rob. How are you?
Good. What do you got for us, Julie?
Well, first I got to say that talking about pie means I'm probably going to run out tonight for dinner, and instead of buying a meal, I'm going to order slices of pie. I live for pie. But my grandmother from Richland Center is 96 years old, and she is the best baker who has ever lived. And she really kind of spoiled me as far as the ultimate pie. The secret that she had, and this was her peach pie, which is my favorite, is she would put cinnamon in with the peaches. Mm. So she didn't just do peach, but it was peach with a touch of cinnamon, and then she'd do the crystally sugar over the top of the crust, so you kind of got that sweet, crunchy bite, and there's just nobody else in the world that can bake a pie like my granny.
Have you tried to replicate it, Julie?
I've tried. Failed pretty miserably, but I think I put the same amount of love into it,
all right,
not the same amount of talent.
Julie, thank you so much. Good luck. You're going to get it right one of these days. A little cinnamon in peach pie. What do you think, Kate?
I was wondering if she puts in enough cinnamon that you can tell that flavor is there, if it's just that pinch. Hmm. So you're kind of wondering, because that's a fun way to flavor pies. Yeah.
And that reminds me, I mean, peaches, we get them, you know, local here in Wisconsin sometimes. Otherwise, sometimes we just get pretty mealy stuff.
Oh, yeah.
How about frozen peaches or frozen other fruit? Does that work for pie out of season?
Absolutely. And it's much more, if you want to make a fruit pie in the winter, that is the only way to go, because that's really all that's available. And the way to use that frozen fruit is to let it thaw just a little bit, so it's a little easier to work with. Some fruits benefit from thawing all the way and draining that water. Peaches is one of them, because they're so juicy. Mm-hmm. You can get extra and kind of get a really soggy bottom crust. Yeah.
Okay. Is it ever, I mean, if we put it in frozen too, does that ruin the cooking time of the crust? Does it keep it raw in places maybe?
You know, it makes you, it requires you to cook the pie just a little bit longer, which is, you know, that's 5 to 10 minutes. Eyeball it.
All right. Before we get back to our callers, I wanted to ask you mentioned earlier, I think, cheese in a pie crust.
Right.
And my question is, what?
Well, apple pie without the cheese is like a kiss without the squeeze.
Right, but I think, right? A little cheddar, a slice of cheddar on top, but in the crust itself, that's
absolutely
what's getting there.
You mix in about a cup of shredded cheese, any kind of hard, delicious cheese, right before you put the water into the dough. And you roll it out just like any other kind of pie crust. I usually wrap it around not too sweet apples and bake it up just like a pie. It's delicious.
Wow, a perfect Wisconsin pie crust. We've got Diane with us now in Walworth. Diane, hi.
Hi. I have a recipe from my friend's grandmother, and for the liquid, it calls for an egg beaten with 5 tablespoons of water and 1 tablespoon of vinegar. And I don't know what makes it good, but it's really flaky, and it calls for lard for the fat.
Mm.
But one time I made a pie for the lady that I got the recipe from, and she said, "This is the best crust. Where this is really good crust." I said, "Well, it's your recipe."
Sounds fantastic.
Diane,
what does the vinegar do?
Diane, thanks. Yeah, vinegar and crust. Have you tried this?
I have tried that. So lard is what's making that super flaky. Mm. The vinegar helps cut down the gluten formation, which you don't want to knead pie dough because that causes gluten to form. Vinegar prevents that from happening. The egg adds just a little extra protein that helps it roll out really smooth. Also, adds richness. That sounds like a great recipe.
Well, speaking of gluten, some people close to us here at Central Time are gluten-free. Are there crust options? Can they enjoy a pie in this world?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I've got an almond flour tart crust that I lean on like an old friend whenever I'm making pie for gluten-free folk, but also just whenever I'm making a tart because it's delicious. I do a buckwheat crust, use buckwheat flour. That's kind of a stronger flavor, so I use it with stronger flavored fruits like peaches.
And this is something even people who don't have to eat it will enjoy?
Yeah, absolutely. Always. Okay. It's always the idea.
Back to our callers now. We've got Barb on the line in Milwaukee. Barb, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you got for us, Barb?
Well, I wanted to mention that it's going to be 26 years this Thanksgiving. For 26 years, I've had an open house pie party.
Wow.
From 6 in the morning until noon.
Oh.
I get about 30 pies. My partner and I serve, you know, clean the house for weeks and bake up 30 pies that we buy at the store because we don't make all 30 pies.
Uh-huh.
And some people bring pies, and we just invite everybody and his brother, and it's just wonderful.
Fantastic. So and a lot of variety of different kinds of pies, Barb?
Oh, my God. Every kind you can imagine. Every kind.
And so you can leave your address when we put you on hold after this, Barb. We'll all drop by. Yeah. Thank you so much. What a great story. So pie as a center of a social event.
Oh, always. I mean, pie itself is a social form, right? You can eat it by yourself. It'll be kind of like drinking a bottle of whiskey by yourself. You know, it might be fun the night before, but the next day you'll wake up feeling a little sad, right? Share it.
Yeah, we have on March 14th, we have a Pie Day celebration. Our news director, Michael Leland, is an expert pie maker, and he rallies people to bring in a bunch of pies. I always look forward to the 314
right.
the pie. So do you do pie parties yourself, Kate?
I do. So I host an event called Pie Stand, where I will just make a bunch of pies, invite people over, invite them to invite their friends, and have a social. Sometimes I'll sell it. It was how I paid my rent in between years of grad school. I also do an event with my partner, Sam Ligon, called Pie and Whiskey, where, as you can imagine, we've got pie, we've got whiskey, we've got some fantastic writers reading short pieces. About 400 people come to this every year.
Wow, that sounds amazing.
They know where to go.
Two of my favorite flavors. We've got Rebecca on the line now in Black River Falls. Rebecca, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a question about when to pre-bake a crust and when to leave it raw. I always end up with a really nice crust on the side, and then it's really soggy or raw right in the middle.
Interesting.
Your diagnosis, Kate?
Okay, so often I find that what's actually happening with the raw crust in the middle is that the person, and you can tell me if you're doing this or not, is leaving that crust on the counter to get kind of lukewarm, or might be leaving the crust on the counter with the filling in it, so the like while they're rolling out the top crust. That totally makes a soggy bottom crust. You can't rescue it. Always, if you are not touching that dough, leave it in the fridge. Okay, so you'll roll out your bottom crust while you're preparing the top crust and the filling. That bottom crust is in the fridge.
So what's happening is the butter or the fat melting,
yes.
Softening.
Yes.
Okay. So
that's
if
exactly
it's if
happening.
You're not working with it now, it has to be in the fridge.
Yes, that's one of my little tricks.
Okay. Well, I want to ask you about this guy I'm holding here. Now I saw a bird thing that you kind of jam on the middle of a pie in your book. You've got you brought in a cow version of it. It's kind of a cylindrical thing that you would, I guess, stab into the middle of the pie. What do we do with this? What does it do?
So we were talking about pie birds, and what you've got in your hand is a pie funnel. It's
pie
a
funnel.
British version of our pie birds. And they're these little ceramic animals that are hollow on the inside. They've got a hole in the top of them. Usually the hole in the bird is right through its mouth. It catches steam from the baking pie and vents it out. So what I'll do is I'll set it in the center of the pie right onto the bottom crust before I put the fruit on, pile the fruit around it, and then I'll fold the top crust into fourths, just kind of trim the tip so that suddenly there's a hole, and I'll fold that top crust around it and then just bake as normal.
So it lets the steam out. What does that do? What's the good?
Well, you want to let the steam out because otherwise you're braising your fruit rather than baking it, basically, right? That's when you take out your pie and the crust has risen like a parachute, but the filling is hunkering down low, right?
Oh, okay.
Right?
All right.
So you need to cut really big vents or have one of these funnels.
Is this for a particular type of pie or just any fruit
just
pie?
It's going to
help
you out.
Oh, interesting.
Whatever you want.
All right. So I think I mentioned up front, I like pie. I want to be able to make pie, but I always chicken out and make crisp or something a little more surefire. Can you give us a pep talk for people like me to actually try making their own crust and making some pie?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. So one of the things that I've learned through trial and error, through experience, is that pie cannot be made well in large batches. I truly believe this, that the best pie is made in small batches by hand, which means that it is the territory of home bakers. The best pie that you're going to have is going to come out of your own kitchen, way, way better than you're going to ever get at a bakery. So get thee to pie school.
All right.
And give it a shot.
And work by hand.
Go by hand. Keep the water and the butter cold. Use a light touch. Go by feel.
All right, Kate, it's been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be in Madison.
That was Kate Lebo. She's an award-winning baker, founder of the Pie School in San Francisco, and she's the author of the book, Pie School, Lessons in Fruit, Flour, and Butter. You can catch her at A Room of One's Own in Madison, where she'll be reading from her new book. That's this Sunday at 2 p.m. I'm Rob Ferret. News is coming up next here on Central Time on the Ideas Network.